make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of men rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous work that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Heavenly Father, I would say the same thing, that you've been watching over us. That no one would touch us, dear Lord God. Give us a way to go, dear Lord God, as we travel in this world that you have created. Dealing with different situations, up and down, different things at work. We come here thanking you for getting us through another week, dear Lord God. Pray that you'll bless our pastor as he talks with you and brings now a word, dear Lord, that you have given him. Bless him, dear Lord. Be with the people also as they come this morning. Help them to join in as we rejoice and just thanking you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the Lord, the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd. I am the door. love I am part of your freedom. This very hour I am. I am. Oh, I am. Oh, I am. Your strength, I am strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power, I'm your freedom, this very young, I am hope, I am peace, I am joy, I am rest, I am your comfort, relief from your strength, I am strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power, I'm your freedom, this very I am. I am. Oh, I am. I am. I'm your grace, I'm your peace, I am joy, I am rest. This very thank you. Watches us and keeps us daily. We owe him everything. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find the body. High and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Oh, searched all over, couldn't find nobody.
greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. High and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody.
God bless saints. I'm so happy to be here in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. Please don't listen to my voice, okay? Just listen to the words of the song. Give me your hand. Let's agree together. Let all our enemies crumble at our feet. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. For we got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. The Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. For we got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan tried to stop us, but the church of Jesus, still Lord, we are alive. Like a mighty army, we cannot be defeated. Winning every battle with the Lord on our side. For we got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. The Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. For we got the power in the name of the Lord. We got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. The Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. For we got the power in the name of the Lord. for we got the power. In the name of the Lord, for we got the power. In the name of the Lord.
Thank you, brother. That was all right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. Amen. Sister Wisdom is next.
God bless you, saints. Your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand, it comforts me. From the ends of the earth to the depths of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. Your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand, it comforts me. From the ends of the earth to the depths of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to your words of truth. Not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. You call me your purpose as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see face. Oh, we live in the glory of grace, and I will run to you, to your words of truth. by might, not by power, by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race. I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. We live in the glory of your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's all our prayer. Now we have Sister Rebecca.
Somehow, some way, their God will come and make a way. They put their trust in you. Would their God get them off the shore? They hadn't seen it before, but they just believed. They just believed. All the others worshiping, they knew what they had to do. Hoping that somehow, some way, their God would come and save the day. They put their trust in you. Could their God save them from the scourge? They hadn't seen it before. How can I disbelieve after all you've done for me? How can I give up on you, knowing you were able to see me through? No matter what the problem is, restless nights, painful days, wondering will it go away? I don't know what to do. Hoping that somehow, some way, my God would hear me when I pray. I put my trust in you. Can my God rescue me once more? I've never seen this before, but I just believe, I just believe. So how can I disbelieve after all you've done for me? How can I give up on you, knowing you were able to see me through? No matter what the problem is, Not seeing, I believe. Not knowing, I receive. All you have for me. Walking in my destiny, knowing you have plans for me. I know you'll make a way, oh Lord. I've never seen this before, but I just believe. I just believe. Say, I just believe. Believe your word, I believe. Say, I just believe. I just believe, no matter what's going on. Say, I just believe your word, I believe. I just believe I'm healed, I believe. I just believe I'm free. I believe, I just believe I'm saved. I believe, I just believe, I just believe. So how can I disbelieve after all you've done for me? How can I give up on you, knowing you're able to see me through? No matter what the problem is, I just believe. I just believe. I believe. I just believe. I just believe your word, God. I just
bypass everything else. Just believe. My God. Lord, help us. Just believe. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. My, my, my.
Just midst of this place, Father. Our Lord, you know what each and every one of us need, Father. And Lord, as we come before you with our tithe and offering, Father, we ask you to bless it, Father, like only you can, Father. Bless those that give. Bless those that have a heart and a desire to give. But when they do, Lord, we pray that you bless them with seed.
With my faith, I will touch you. Oh, my miracle, for I will see, and I know that I will never be the same. Oh, with
can deliver, he was saying, deliver her from, I'm not sure, let's see here, let me just try to get this, I'm not able to really get the writing. Who put this, could you just announce the prayer request, brother, say that, okay, thyroid glands, okay, now, is this for your wife? Okay, all right, all right. We want to remember her, amen, in prayer, thyroid issue there. And also says requesting prayer for a co-worker. Sister Wisdom continues to request your prayers for Deborah. She's been taking off all chemo. She developed another tumor over the original one. Doctors gave her an aggressive chemo that has damaged her heart. We continue to believe for God's healing, power, and grace she has to see heart specialists. I'm believing that when she sees them, the hand of God will be upon her body, both physically and spiritually. Amen. So also request prayer for co-worker Linda Gail Williams. She has been diagnosed with superficial vein thrombosis, a condition that has blood running up her leg, trying to clot. She was told that it was just a bruise. Now the blood is running towards her groin area and started at her ankle. The doctors are aggressively trying to keep her blood thin. She is a Christian, believing God for her healing. Amen. So we want want to take these requests before, amen, the throne of God at this time. Brother Caleb's wife with a thyroid, amen, a condition, and Sister Wisdom's sister for the cancer treatments, as well as her co-worker for this condition where the blood is running up her leg. Let's just take these requests before God's throne. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we just thank you that we are able to come into your presence. We are grateful that you are God that not only hears our prayers, but you answer them. And we know, God, that as we make our requests, as we acknowledge you, we invite you into these circumstances, situations, that we know that you're able to turn things around, for you are the God or the master of breakthroughs. So, Lord, we ask that you would give a mighty breakthrough, amen, to Sister Mita Ford, suffering from thyroid condition. We ask that you would touch her body. God, even right now, we command this condition to reverse. We curse it in the name of Jesus. And just, Lord, just trust that you, God, would bring complete and total healing to her. Also, we remember Sister Wisdom's sister. She's been taking off all chemo, but now, because of some of the things that the doctors have tried to do, and they're doing the best that they possibly can, God, now she has damage to her heart. God, we know that you are a heart regulator, a heart fixer, our God, that you can turn this situation around. And our faith and our trust is totally in you, God. We ask that you would intervene on her behalf and that you would minister to her need even right now, God. May she confess you as her healer. And Lord, may she begin to see the condition change in her body as she confesses you. Also, the co-worker, Lord, that has this special condition where blood is running up her body. God, we know that you're able to touch her as well. Doctors doing the best they can on her behalf. But Lord, we ask that you would intervene and that you would just minister to her needs. Her being a Christian, may she put her faith completely in you. No matter what her body says, no matter what the tests say, may she continue to confess that by your stripes she is healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let her keep saying it, Lord. Oh, God, I just pray that you just give Sister Wisdom the right words to say to them both, that they would be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, amen, by other testimonies they would hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen, amen. Can we give them a hand of praise? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be back in the house of God, amen, this morning. Our God is an awesome God, amen. This morning, Brother Robles told us that God likes for us to brag on him. Amen. If you don't mind, just tell somebody, just brag on your God. My God is awesome, powerful, almighty. Nobody like my God. They used to have a little saying, say, you don't know, you better ask somebody. Amen. My God is awesome. And I just appreciate it. It's okay. But I just really thank God for that. And I was grateful for the specials that I heard this morning with Caleb. Amen. Sister Wisdom. Amen. And Sister Rebecca. We appreciate all of that this morning. Just wonderful, wonderful atmosphere, Brother Wisdom, in the worship, leading us in worship. We thank you for that this morning. Just a couple quick announcements. I want to first wish all the fathers in here a happy Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day. And I'm so glad that my dad, amen, is here with us. I'm so grateful that just all that he's done for not just me, but our entire family. My dad has been an example, like I've said many times, in our house. My daddy didn't bring home beer and alcohol. And I mean, it wasn't that way. I don't remember one day my daddy ever coming home drunk. So I'm grateful to have a father, amen, like I have. And I remember the only time. time we did have beer is when they made that beer bread. Some type of special bread that mama made, beer bread. And I said, well, you never taste nothing like this. But we ate it. We ate it, was asking for more too, you know. But we had an awesome upbringing. My dad was a very stable influence in our lives, and you know, no matter what you may see in the rest of my family, we know where we come from. Amen. We know exactly where we come from, and with roots like that, we can't go too far. Amen. We can't go too far. So I'm under expectation. I might as well call things that be not as though they were, and I'm looking for it. I'm under expectation. My whole family gonna be worshiping together. Amen. Right here, my whole family, brothers, sisters, children, you know, nieces, nephews, everybody worshiping. Amen. I think just in our little clan, how many grandchildren is it? 18 plus 2, so 20. We can take up about 3 or 4 rows right there just ourselves. So, but we just appreciate the Lord. And amen. I want to just wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. And you bringing your children to church, the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Keep them around the things of God. Last night we had, amen, the huddle, the brothers huddle. We had a wonderful time. And just really, really good fellowship, amen, amongst the brethren. And I was just very, very pleased with the conversation and just how things went. And brothers, we want to encourage you. We're going to keep this going. Trust that God will make provision for all of our brothers to be able to attend, amen, and get strength from just talking one with the other. Amen. So God bless you. Don't forget this weekend, upcoming weekend, we have the meetings at St. Augustine. If you desire to go, certainly we want to invite you and encourage you to go. Right now, myself, I'm looking at trying to leave Friday night to try to be there for the Friday night service and the Saturday morning service, and I'm coming back home, amen, on Saturday afternoon. Usually I stay for the Saturday night service, but I'm getting a little older, and I'm finding out that getting home 2 o'clock in the morning trying to come to church the next morning, it hurts, amen. So I'm going to come back early and get some rest and be ready for what we have to do on next Sunday, amen, here. But so just keep those meetings in prayer. I understand Brother Smiley will be speaking, amen, on next Saturday morning there in St. Augustine. So let's keep him in prayer that God will use him in a special way there in the camp meeting, amen. Don't forget, next Sunday we have Pinnacle Palm, so keep that in mind. Keep us in prayer. We were there with them on Thursday night, and we begin to talk about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we were, because Jesus told the disciples, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I asked a question some time ago. I said, now, when Peter baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, was he willfully disobedient to Jesus? And one of the brothers said, yes, he was. He was willfully disobedient. I said, well, is it possible that Peter saw something that the rest of us didn't see in Scripture? And I said, we'll dig into that. So we start digging in, and I know a lot of us going like this, but I said, we got to sow the seed anyway, and we never know who might catch it, and we'll go back over it again until it is caught, you know, and we trusted that somebody at Pinnacle Palms is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We trust that that will occur. Even if it's just one, amen, it was worth it for just that one. So we're looking forward to that. So keep us in prayer. Don't forget our meetings, amen, coming up on the 28th of June, 2 weekends from now. We're expecting some guests from North Carolina, and we certainly want, you know, everyone that can just be here to support the services. We need everybody to be here during that time. We're going to have a service on Friday night, a service on Saturday morning, a service on Saturday night, and a service on Sunday morning. And I'm trusting that we'll be able to make more than one service. Amen. I'm hoping that all of our saints will be able to make a couple of the services. We don't do this too often, but when we do it, we need full support from our church. Amen. I thank God for the visitors, but I'd be looking for Spirit of Truth. Amen. Where is Spirit of Truth? You know, we need to represent in the house. We're not even going out of town. This is going to be right here in our house. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You know, we got guests in our house. You got guests in the house. You need to be home. Come on. Can I? Any of y'all ever invite guests? I know some of us may do it, but do you ever plan it where you invite guests to your house and then you take off and go on vacation? I mean, now sometimes it happened that way, right? I was planning a trip. I got a cruise scheduled and you coming. I'm sorry. Tell you what, you ain't got to pay for that hotel. You can stay in my house while I'm gone. Some people you trust like that. But for the most part, when you invite somebody to come and say, well, look, I want you to come such and such a time and we're going to have a good time together. And here they come and you say, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to take off. You know, I know that you're here, but I'm leaving. That don't look right. So that's the way it looked when our church don't show up when guests come. Looked like we all took off and went on vacation. So, I mean, we got four services. Now, I'm going to ask you to try to at least get two out of the four. That's I know that's hard, but I'm going to go a little harder. Get three out of the four. All right. Okay, I'm going to go a little harder. I'm going to push a little harder. Can you give me four out of four? I know that's a step of faith. I'm walking on water, amen, when I ask for that. But can you do it just this once? If you can. Praise the Lord. I know we got some saints that'll be going out of town, and that was already planned. I know that. But for those that ain't going anywhere, and you have not told me you were going anywhere, we'll be looking for you. And if you call me up this week or next week and say, "Now, Brother Jack, I forgot to tell you, now I'm going to be questioning that, but we just love you. We appreciate you. The Lord richly bless you. Amen. Don't forget, for the choir, we're also preparing 3 weeks from now. Brother Wesco will be having his meetings. Amen. And I understand we got Brother Dig coming to town. We got Brother Israel coming to town. And we got Brother, Brother Smiley going to be speaking one of the services there too at Brother West Coast. So we should have a really, really good time, amen, a few weeks from now. So keep those services in prayer. Keep our services in prayer. And tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we'll be having rehearsal at Brother West Coast Church for the choir, that those that want to, amen, be a part of the choir. Amen. Okay. Just a card here. It says, some people have a thoughtful way of living, a happiness they bring to every day, and the helpful things they do for other people, the smiles they share, the caring words they say, and every happy time or treasured memory. It seems they've played a very special part. Some people have a thoughtful way of living that comes from always giving from the heart. Thank you for all the thoughtful ways you give from the heart. Says thank you for your hospital visits, love, prayers, and phone calls. It means so much to know you are loved and someone is praying for you. Love always, Brother Tillman. Amen. And we thank God for Mama being with us today. Certainly, Satan has done all he can to disrupt Mama's routine, but she keep persevering and pressing right on through it. And we're grateful, amen, to have Mama's service with us. So grateful, amen. Thank God for touching her body just once more. Praise the Lord, amen. And we heard that Mama was thinking about playing some basketball, and we believe God will touch her. She'll put one inside the basket. She's looking at her grandkids do it, great-grands, and looking at them doing it. I think I can put me one up there, too. So, amen. I believe God with you. Yeah, be careful. Mama be shooting threes out there. Hallelujah. That's all right. Well, the devil be in trouble then. But we just thank God for her. Well, amen. We don't want to prolong the time. I see Chris and amen, his precious fiance, amen, with him today. God bless you all. So good to have you with us. Last week I had a wonderful service. I'm still kind of rejoicing from all that God did there. And but I failed to announce that last week. Last week before last. They all crossed up now. But our precious sister Evelyn was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. So just thank God for what he's doing in her heart. And we just appreciate that. So continue to keep her in your prayers. Amen. All right, let's read a scripture. Thank you, musicians. Amen for your service today. See, my dad got a new suit. That's a nice looking suit. I like that. I like that. I might have to go get me one of them. Telling you. Yeah. But I'm going to go to Mark chapter 11. Amen. And we'll read from there on today. Thank the Lord. And I'm starting here at verse 22. Actually, let's start at verse 20. And says this, says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow in a quick word of prayer. We thank you for the opportunity to read the word. We realize the Spirit of God has to bring understanding to what we've read. They're not just words on a page. But God, this is something that you have called your people to in this hour. And help us, Lord, to open up our hearts to receive all that you have for us. Bless our time here together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So, for a title, we will use Reckless Faith. Amen. Reckless Faith. Amen. And, you know, this particular passage, as we can see out of Mark 11, is dealing with, you know, when Jesus looked at a fig tree, and he was with the disciples, and Jesus was hungry, and he was approaching this tree to go get something, you know, from it. He needed, you know, something to sustain him at this time. And as he approaches this tree, it was at a time, and it was at a season where this tree should have had some fruit on it. And when Jesus went to approach the tree, you know, he found that there was no fruit. And, you know, so Jesus just spoke. And I'm not sure how he spoke it. I doubt that Jesus would be obnoxious with it. I don't think he has to be loud. Amen. I think anything that come out of his mouth, we better be watchful of. Right. And I just think he probably just underneath his breath just maybe said, no man eat from thee no more forever, you know. And I mean, I'm just upset with this. This tree don't have what I'm looking for. I'm just a little disappointed. And I have to, amen, bring in the type that, you know, we, our lives sometimes type the tree, all right. And there's times where we're not fruitful either. Amen. And if he spoke to us that the way he spoke to that tree, then we wouldn't have anything coming forth from us either. But, you know, we thank God that, you know, he spoke this. He said, you know, no man eat from thee no more forever. And, you know, the disciples heard it. They heard Jesus say this. Excuse me. And when they heard him say it, the next day, you know, Peter come by and he looked and the tree is all withered up from its roots. And, you know, even and I like the type where Brother Branham taught us. He said, you know, if Jesus could speak to a tree and it dries up from its roots, then whatever condition is attacking your body, that same Jesus could speak to your condition and it would dry up from the roots. Amen. When the roots is gone, it's no more. It's not growing anymore. I mean, the roots have been impacted. Amen. This thing is dead once the roots are gone. So whatever the condition is that you might be facing, amen, maybe God can speak a word directly to you and that thing will dry up from the roots. Hallelujah. But here, you know, Jesus is the disciples see this and like, wow, you know, here Jesus spoke and the tree dries up, you know. I mean, and not just, it wasn't something that happened over a year or 2 years or 5 years. This was something that he spoke yesterday and today this thing has changed. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that I'm looking for to deal with my situations. Speak today and let it be changed tomorrow. Hallelujah. You know, glory to God. If it could happen to a tree, it could happen to me. You that's the way you have to feel. If it can happen to a tree, it can happen to me. I don't know if you caught that. Amen. But that's what reckless faith will do. Amen. If it could happen to a tree, then it can happen also to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here we have Peter saying, Lord, that tree that you spoke to yesterday, you cursed it. It's withered away this morning. This thing is done, you know. And I mean, so Jesus used this as a teaching opportunity. You know, not just a thing where we just stop and, you know, just just have this a wonderful service. You know, no. I want to show you something. I want to talk to you about this, Peter. And he says now in verse 22, says Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Says, and I love the way Jesus does this because he's taking it completely off of him and he's putting it on the disciples. Right? I mean, this is not just for me. Yeah, I spoke to a tree yesterday, but I want you to know it's not just for me. This is something that you're supposed to have. Amen. If you just have faith in God, amen, mustard seed faith, amen, pure unadulterated faith, have faith in God. Come on, we're back at acknowledge the Lord. If we're gonna trust in God, let's trust in God. We can't have, I mean, we got trust in this plus this. Oh, y'all take it down just for a moment. I mean, Brother Branham was talking to a young African. You know, he come to the prayer line. He had I think he had some type of little idol god that he had. He was bringing, and the idol had a little fire or something on the inside of it. And here he comes up approaching the prophet, and he says, Brother Branham, say, you a Christian? He said, Yeah, I'm a Christian. He says, why are you packing that idol? He said, well, you know, I was out in the wilderness one time, and there was a lion, you know, kind of coming after me. And I had this thing right here with me, this little idol god. I had this with me, and the lion left me alone. He said, now, what I come to realize is that when trusting in God fails, this thing right here won't fail. That's the way we feel. Amen. When I done confess the word of God and it ain't brought any results, then, you know, what I'm going to do is kind of turn to something else. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's just the way that we are. We might as well be honest with ourselves, right? You know, but here, you know, Brother Branham say, well, I just want to kind of share something with you. Say, the lion was not running from your idol God, but because of the fire, they're afraid of fire. That's why the lion was running. So you can break that thing, amen, right now. It wasn't helping you at all. It was the fire that the thing was running from. So if you're ever afraid of a lion, just build a quick fire. That's all you got to do if you're afraid of a lion. And that's when you're working with your own strength. But if you trust God, he'll give you strength to slay the lion. Amen. That's what he did for David. He'll give you strength to slay the lion if you're trusting in him. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen.
So, you know, the thing of it is, we got to get to the point where we have faith in God. And I like, just read, let's read it. Have faith in God. And when you look at it, amen, when you look at this scripture, amen, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, period. Yes,
amen.
Have faith in God, period. That don't put your faith in nothing else but God. And that's what Jesus is trying to get this to the disciples. Have faith in God. That's it. That's it right there. Just stop right there. Complete faith in God. Let's go on. He goes on to say this. This, for verily I say unto you, he says, that whosoever, oh my, now y'all just work with these words. Because and whosoever, when you see a whosoever, that includes you. That includes me. That don't mean I got to, only the pastor can say it, or only the deacon can say it, or only the evangelist can say it. Amen. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, he says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I remember a time, he said he should have whatsoever he saith. I remember one time these brothers was trying to prove Brother Branham to be a false prophet. And so they went up, got to some room somewhere, and they just began to draw up all kind of things on a prayer card. I got this, I got that, I got this, I need prayer for this, I need prayer for all of these conditions. So they go up before, you know, they get a prayer card, they go into the prayer line, and when they get up before the prophet, he says, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. He says, yes, it is. Why don't you try to discern it again? There's something wrong. He said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. And they say, well, we told y'all he was a false prophet. He said, oh, my goodness. Okay, hold on. They say, there was nothing wrong with this. But what happened, now I see, because you're challenging the Spirit of God. So now I see what happens that you was with another brother, and y'all came up with this plan to kind of come and expose me. It says y'all was over here, and y'all wrote down everything. Y'all said, and the man was sitting up in the balcony, the one that was with me, said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And, you know, he repenting. You know, that ain't nothing but the truth. Now that's God, you know. Man, I'm wrong, man. You know, but this other fellow on the platform, he's sitting there exposed. So Brother Branham say, everything you have on the card is yours. Everything he wrote down, he received it right there. So, I mean, and if he could get it by believing what he said, what about us if we believe what we say? Glory. Let me just read something here. Brother Branham, speak to this mountain. A quote here, because this scripture out of St. Mark 11 was something that puzzled him. It really, really puzzled him. Now, watch this. He says, then one time read in the Bible about hell, and I began to read that the word hell come from the word Hades, which meant the grave, and I was for about 3 years or four, I would not preach the subject of hell, because one place it looked like it was a burning fire, the next place was the grave, until I found the truth of it. Then when I got to know exactly what it was, and by the help of the angel of the Lord that revealed it to me, because I did not get any schooling, I just hold on to a scripture and pray and search the scriptures until he comes and reveals it to me. I like the way he approaches that. Hold on to a scripture and pray and search the scriptures until he comes and reveals it to me. When he stands before me in that light that you see on the picture and reveals it, every time it's perfect with the scripture through and through. That's the reason I know it's the angel of the Lord, because he bears record of his word. And if that angel told me one thing that wasn't scriptural, I would not believe him. It has to be with the word first. God's word is eternal, because an angel could come and preach something else. Paul said that wasn't right. But if it's the word of God, the angel of God will verify that word every time to be the truth. If it's a true angel from the Lord, if it's something off color, then don't you listen to it. But if an angel comes and speaks and says just exactly what the word says, then that angel's from God. Let's keep going. He says, now then, on this scripture, I could not justify myself to preach on it. Did you notice Jesus said here, verily I say unto you, if ye shall say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and don't doubt, but believe in your heart that what you have said shall come to pass, you can have what you said. Now, I could not justify that because I could not understand it. How then could it be that I would say something as a man? What if I said something that wasn't according to his word and asked something wasn't according to his word? Then it wouldn't have to come to pass. Because Jesus said, if you say, not if I say, but if you say, placing it upon his apostles, upon the believers, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in their heart, but believe that what they have said shall come to pass, they can have what you said. Not what he said, what you say. I want to leave it right there. Now, we read there, and he said that he had to wait to get a scripture. He'd just wait until God would come and reveal, amen, that scripture. And Brother Branham had an experience, amen, in his life where he was just kind of waiting. And, I mean, he couldn't, St. Mark 11:23, we quote it all the time, but it's not just something to be quoted. It's something that should be manifested in the lives of the believers. Amen. So here, you know, Brother Branham ran into a situation like we just read the quote. He waited for the angel to come and reveal things to him. One time, Brother Branham found himself out in the woods, and he'd been out there hunting for a number of days. This was about 3 days gone by, hunting for squirrels. And as they were out there hunting, amen, they hadn't found a squirrel in 3 days. Never even seen a trace of a squirrel. 3 whole days. They were hiding. So as he was there, amen, just in the woods and meditating, he began to think on this scripture, St. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So he was there just meditating on that scripture, and the angel of the Lord began to deal with him about it. He'd say, do you believe that scripture? Yeah, Lord, everything in the Bible I believe, but no, do you really believe that scripture? That you can have what you say? You believe that? Yeah, I believe it. Say, okay, all right. If you believe it, then what are you hunting for? Then I'm hunting for squirrels. You hunting for squirrels? Say, well, how many squirrels you want? This is the angel Lord talking to him. How many squirrels you want? Well, the limit is 3. I'll take 3. Say, okay, where you want them at? You know, and then he say, well, I'm gonna do something crazy. I mean, because if this God, then you know he just got to prove himself right here. Come on, I'm talking about reckless faith. If this God, then he's gonna have to do something about this. I need to know that this is God. Am I just talking to myself? So he say, where you want that? He say, he calls the squirrel. He say, I want this squirrel to do this, that, and the other. And he say, ain't no way the squirrel going to do that because that's not the nature of squirrels. So he said, let it do something impossible. And that squirrel come running out, did exactly what he said. He shot it and grabbed it. Right. So my goodness, man, this is something. So, you know, he got to a little spot where he say, well, you know, I guess that was good. And I'll be thankful for this one, and I'll move on. As he get ready to pack up to go, they say, no, you said 3. See, now you got to believe in your heart that what you say going to come to pass. You didn't say 1, you said 3. See, so he said, now tell me where the second one, you speak where the second one going to be. God would not speak on behalf of the prophet. I want you to catch that. God did not speak on the prophet's behalf. The prophet had to speak on his own behalf. You say where it's going to be, not where I say. I'm waiting to hear what you say. That's what God is saying, is I'm waiting to hear what you say. You waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you. What are you going to say? Hallelujah. So there it was. He said, now you tell me where the second one going to be. Well, this one going to do this, this, and this, and it's going to stop right there, and I'm going to shoot it. There it come right out and did everything that he said he was going to do. He shot it, went and picked it up, and he said that squirrel was bleeding. He said, this is not a vision. This is reality, because visions don't bleed. He says, my God. So, I mean, if that happened to him, he's like, Lord, this has got to be something. I just, you know, I ain't never experienced nothing like this. And Lord, this is really something here. So he says, Lord, I'm grateful. I got two of them. I'm gonna just go ahead and leave. Don't go nowhere. You said three. Now you tell me where the third one gonna be. Lord, I mean, come on. What, you know, Lord, you say where the third one gonna be. God was bringing this scripture to pass in his life. And he allowed that to happen in the prophet's life so that we can know that we can have what we say. Woo. Here he says, now you tell me what the third one. He asks the third one, this squirrel going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to shoot it right there. That squirrel did exactly what he said, and he shot it. Went and picked it up, got us three squirrels. Now I'm going to tell you, it happened twice in his life. It happened twice, and he shot three squirrels twice in his life. And the second time he did it, he shot a squirrel. The third squirrel that he shot, he couldn't find it. He couldn't find it. So when he went looking for that squirrel, I mean, he went back to the camp and told the brothers, and they prayed. And one of the brothers said, Lord, if Brother Branham is telling the truth, then let him find that squirrel when he get out there in the morning. So we'll believe him. See, and he's like, Lord, how could the brothers doubt what I say? How could I told testimonies about your grace. How could they doubt it now? They say, you know, it was all to test him to see if he believed what he said. He went back out the next morning and he said, I'm going to find this squirrel. It's going to be right there in the middle of that log. And he went reaching his hands down in that log and lifted up, and there was that squirrel sitting right there. It was right where he said it would be. Oh, I'm talking about reckless faith. I'm talking about reckless faith. This go beyond, amen, headache faith. You understand what I'm saying? This not just headache faith. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. It ain't going to be but a few minutes. I'll be shouting by myself. Hallelujah. Reckless faith. It's a time, you know, that this scripture had to become real, quickened to the prophet. And there's one time in his ministry where God told him, say, it's going to be a resurrection of something dead. Something dead, something going to resurrect. And he couldn't figure out what it was that was going to rise. And he thought maybe a child, or maybe some person, maybe somebody died was going to be raised again to life. And, you know, one day he's out there fishing with some brothers. And they're out there fishing, and he throws, and this fish bites his hook. And when they went to take the hook out of the fish's mouth, so they pulled all the intestines out and everything. Just terrible. Fish was too small to eat. So they just threw him in the water, and maybe thinking that another fish would come by sometime and just take him away. They sat there for 30 minutes, that fish, sat there in the water, just floating around the boat, floating around the boat. Come on, hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. There's some of y'all doing the same thing this morning, just floating around the boat. Either get in or get out, but stop floating around the boat. Come on. Amen. Get in the boat. Get in the boat, see. Amen. Like they had to get in the ark, get in the boat. Come on, somebody. They're just floating around the boat, just dead as it could be. Amen. That's some of us like that in church, right? We just here just to be here. God wants you to get involved and do some things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get committed somewhere. Stop floating around the boat. Come on, somebody. Amen. I feel good anyway this morning. Well, don't float around the boat. Get involved. Get involved in what God is doing this hour. But that fish just floating around the boat, just floating around the boat. And suddenly, say, the Spirit of God came upon the prophet and say, rise up to your feet. Saying, when he rose up to his feet, now speak to that fish and tell him, I give you your life. And here the fish was sitting there, say, little fishy, I give you your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That fish went from floating to swimming. Just like that. Amen. If God can speak to a tree, he can speak to a fish. If God can speak to a fish, He can speak to me. Hallelujah. See, I mean, when God challenged the prophet to do these things, the one of the things that, and I'm going to read this for you. The thing was, it wasn't Brother Branham. It was God in Brother Branham. Amen. This, the whole thing was really to try to challenge the faith of the people today. When we heard these testimonies, we should realize that we're living 1 million miles beneath our privileges. God wants us to go a lot higher than where we are. Come on, we still trying to believe God for a headache. You know, I mean, God wants us to have reckless faith. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. Amen, amen, amen. I like that. All right, come on. I want to read something here to you, if I can just find it really quick. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There was one particular quote where Brother Branham's talking about this is controlled by motive and objective. Amen. And okay, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think that's on the second sheet that I gave you. I want you to just see this. Amen. Now, this type of faith that we're talking about, if you're not a believer, you're not going to be able to get this. And when I say a believer, I'm talking about a Christian. Amen. I'm not talking about somebody in and out, you know, with God, but somebody that's stable with God. Amen. These are the people that's going to walk into this because Jesus said we're supposed to have it. Look at this in Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, when Jesus said to the tree, no man eateth from thee, and the tree withered within 24 hours, the disciples wondered about it. And he said, have faith in God, for if you would say to this mountain, be raised up, cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is coming to pass, you can have what you say. What you say. Then how could a man move a mountain? Only deity can move a mountain. So if we're sons and daughters of God, then you go out and say, mountain, move. That's not what he said. See, you'd say, I'll show you I can move it. That's wrong. If your objective is right and your motive is right, then it isn't you speaking. It's deity itself speaking through you. If your objective is right and your motive is right, because, I mean, there's some people that would try to take this and as soon as God do something, and you can leave it there, as soon as God do something in their life, they come to share that testimony real quick. I did this. I did that. Now, if you got that in the way, God will never use you. God will never use you. It's not about you. It's about Christ. Amen. When you surrender completely to him, then he can use you whatever way he wants to. Hallelujah. It's not you. It's him. It's deity in you. Listen, say if you say, I'll show you I can move it, that's wrong. And oh, can I just say this? You can leave it there. You know, some people tell you, here, have a bag of snakes. You can take it down just for a second. They have a bag of snakes. And this bag of snakes, and they just do this, and they still do it. You got faith? You got faith? Put your hand in that bag. You got faith? Yeah, I got faith enough and sense enough to know that I shouldn't put my hand in that bag. All right, I got that much faith. I got faith and common sense that I should not put my hand in that bag. If you got faith, put your hand in this bag. I'll show you my faith. Reach down in the bag and get the snake. Well, I'm not like that. I'm like Moses. When Moses threw his stick down and it turned into a snake, y'all know what Moses did? Moses took off running until God spoke back to him, saying, now don't run, don't fear. Now go back and pick it up. And when God told him to pick it up, that's when he picked it up and it turned into a snake. I mean, to a stick again. Right? But, I mean, until he heard from God, he wasn't just reaching out there touching snakes. Amen. See, so when people approach you like that, you got to know, no, that's not proven faith at all. Rather, I can reach my hand in the bag, amen, and touch a snake and pick it up out of the bag, or not reach my hand in. I'll tell you what my faith at. If I happen to be at my house, and somebody, some snake handler, done left a bag in my house, and I didn't know what was in the bag, and I reach my hand down in there, I got faith to know that if I get bit, I ain't going to die. Amen. That's where my faith at. Hey, man, I'm going to get rid of it, too. I'm going to leave it in my house. Praise the Lord anyway. That's where my faith at, you know. But, I mean, we got these kind of people trying to challenge. That's not faith. Just because you can reach your hand in a bag, that's not faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people take faith. One might be the hand in the bag with a snake, but another one might have a Rottweiler. You got faith? You got faith? Come on into the house with this Rottweiler that don't know you. I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. That's not what I'm here to do. See, I mean, I'm going to show you. I'm going to speak to this dog in the name of Jesus. You better stay right there, dog. That's not the way this works, y'all. But it does work this way. If you happen to be walking in the path of a killer dog or a killer bull, if you just so happen to be walking in the path on your way to do something for the Lord, and as you're on your way to do something for the Lord, you realize that you're in the path of something that could kill you. It's at that moment that you can speak to that bull like Brother Branham did. Spoke to the killer bull, said, "Now, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I know this is your territory. I'm just going to pray for one of God's sick people. If you don't mind, let me go pray, and you go lay back down." And that bull just start hitting that leg like that, full speed ahead towards the prophet. Got this close to him, stopped, turned around, and went back and laid down. That's where your faith at. If you get caught into a situation, see, your motive is right. Your objective is right. See, and when your motive and your objective is right, then God can do some supernatural things in your life. Oh, God. Oh, my. I tell you, I like that. But here, let's go on. Let's finish this. It says, if you say, "I'll show you, I can move it," that's wrong. If your objective is right and your motive is right, then it isn't you speaking, it's deity itself speaking through you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And when you can get your own way so away from you that it's not you no more, but Christ speaking through you, like these ministers, when they get anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the word, you don't have to worry about any words. The Holy Spirit just delivers them. You don't know what you're going to say. The Spirit just says it, and it's always right. I didn't know I was going to come in here and say, stop floating around the boat, but get in the boat. That wasn't part of my notes, but the Spirit said it, and the Spirit is right. Amen. The Spirit just says it, and it's always right. Now, that's the way it is by speaking to the mountain. If your objective is right, and your motive is right, it isn't you speaking anymore. It's the Spirit of God speaking, and that's what moves the mountain, not you. It's the Spirit of God. Man, I like that. It's not me speaking to the mountain. It's the Spirit of God in me speaking to the mountain. If I had need for the mountain to move, it would move. Brother Branham said, even if it moved one grain of sand at a time, it's still moving. Ooh, Jesus. I tell you what, I want to have some reckless faith. Yes, yes. Amen. Reckless faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's go back now and pick up in Joshua, because this is where we've been. We'll see Joshua had some reckless faith in Joshua chapter 10. Now, as we make our way over to this, I just want to again share with you, God has different strategies. Amen. Different strategies that he uses with every battle. Different things that we go through in life, God uses. There's different ways that God opens up doors. Brother Branham was saying how when God brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea and he opened up the Red Sea for them, and here they come through on dry land, and Pharaoh's army was being drowned right behind them. See, now if they would have turned around and said, "Okay, Lord, open it up again," God would not have done it. Because that's not the way he works. See, I mean, open it up again. God don't play games. See, amen. When you have a need, he does something, and then next time he might do something totally different. And when the children of Israel came through into Jericho, God destroyed it by having them walk around the wall seven times. And on the seventh day, seven times on that seventh day, God destroyed the walls of Jericho. But when it was time to fight Ai, there was no marching around walls. Amen. When it was time to fight Ai, it was get sin out the camp. You understand? Amen. Then they defeated the army of Ai. Amen. That was their time. Get the sin out of the camp. And then he used an ambush approach. He said, now I'm going to put so many men in front and so many men behind the city. And we're going to use this ambush approach. And this is how we're going to take down Ai. So it's a different strategy. It wasn't marching around the walls. It was the ambush approach. Different strategy. Now we got another one as we come here to Joshua chapter 10. This is a new strategy that God uses. Oh, my God. If I could just type it this way. In Brother Branham's ministry, he had a first pull. He had a second pull. And then he had a third pull. At first pull, he was laying hands on the sick and praying for everybody, and he was getting healed. The second pull, amen, he began to deal with the thoughts and intents of the heart, discerning what was going on. And then that third pull, Brother Branham said it was the opening of the word, or could we say spoken words? Ooh. We're in Joshua 10 now. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Look at this in Joshua 10. Now, and before I go to Joshua 10, we got to also talk a little bit about Joshua 9. Because that's what gave our thought on acknowledge the Lord. Amen. Because in Joshua 9, they failed to seek counsel from God. And by failing to seek counsel from God, they ended up making an agreement with these people called the Gibeonites. When they made the agreement with the Gibeonites, they thought these people were some travelers from a land afar. But come to find out, they were their neighbors, not wanting to lose their land. So they came up and tricked the children of Israel and got them to sign an agreement that they would live in peace. Hallelujah. That agreement caused some trouble for Israel for a long time because they failed to acknowledge God in that agreement. And some of the things that we done agreed to do have got us into some trouble because we failed to acknowledge God in what we said we were going to do. All right, now I need you to understand this, that even when you make a mistake, God is able to still bless. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God is still able to bless. And I want you to look at this out of Joshua chapter 10. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, my God. Let's start here, and I'll start at verse 1. We'll just read it, and we'll go from there. It says, now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Gibeon was a much greater city, right? But they want to make a pact with the children of Israel. Now they're among them, the Bible tells us. It says, wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Verse 5 says, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. So now they're fighting against the Gibeonites. Hallelujah. But look at what happens here in verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp, to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Now, I just want to pause there before we go further. Here they have five kings that are coming against Gibeon. They're not fighting the Israelites. They're upset that the Gibeonites have joined up with the Israelites, knowing that they were stronger men, amen, they were stronger than the city of Ai, but now they've joined up with the Israelites, the Gibeonites have. So they're coming against the Gibeonites. Now, I just like this, amen, because, you know, when we're going through tests and trials, amen, we have five kings that usually come against us. Five kings, they always there to come against us. No matter what we are going through, if it's sickness in the body, if it's something with one of our children, we got five kings that are always there to fight against us. Hallelujah. You got to watch them five kings. Amen. Don't let those five kings dominate and dictate how things are going to work inside your life. Oh, hallelujah. That the five kings are what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, huh? And what we smell. Those are five kings that come against us all the time. No matter what you're going through. You're going through a sickness. Oh, I feel this. Oh, I feel. Oh, I feel. I mean, I had somebody tell me and say, you know, I know you prayed for me. But it seemed like since you prayed for me, things have gotten worse. Well, when I hear things like that, I'm ready to say, well, praise God. Because it has to get worse before it can get better. Amen. Huh? Or you go to the doctor and they give you the report and you start looking like, oh my, what you done saw with your eyes, amen, begins to decrease your faith. Huh? What you done heard somebody else say, well, you know, I heard so-and-so had the same condition and they died. And that's what they always tell you, and they died. They never got a testimony about anybody ever being healed, but always about death. And then whatever you lend those five senses to is what it's going to become. Because if you come to church, you'll hear testimonies of how somebody got healed. But you go to the doctor, you hear how about somebody died. But what are you going to lend your ears to? Whose report are you going to believe? It's your personal determination that I shall believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to lend my ears to God's word. I'm going to lend my eyes to God's word. Amen. I'm lending my, even in my body, my feelings are going to line up with God's word. Oh, my God, my God, my God. See, five kings are always there to, amen, come against us, and they always there to do battle. Always there to do battle. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading in the story, and we'll see how Joshua dealt with these five kings. Now, remember the title is Reckless Faith. Reckless. And when we talk about reckless, just to give you another quick definition, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Reckless is without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. I'm not even thinking, and I'm not even caring about the consequences of my action. Now, I'm talking about with faith, okay, with faith. Now, you know, some of us need to care about our actions, some of the decisions that we're making and all that, we need to care about that, all right? But when it comes to your faith in God, release it and allow it to be reckless in him. This scripture goes on to say, now Joshua's coming to help the Gibeonites because he's made a pact with them that they would live. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and I'm just liking this. Now, Joshua could have said, well, hey, this God judging y'all. Y'all lied to us. Y'all made us make this pact with you. This God judging y'all. But Joshua didn't do that. The word that he said that y'all would live, he meant that. So if they had to be their protection, then they would be their protection. Oh, my goodness. That's the way God works. Even when we don't deserve it, he's still right there to give us what we need. Yes. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. says, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. See, when you let God handle it, God can do more by himself than you can by yourself. Oh, glory to God. Here they drawing sword, but by running, God raining down hailstones. I can just see it right now. It's like one of them Florida rains. You know what a Florida rain is? You can be right here getting wet as I don't know what. But right over here, the sun is shining like I don't know what. So I can see the Israelites on this side in battle not getting hurt by any hailstones. But over here, people are dying like crazy. That's the God that we serve. Our God is awesome. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Here it says they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now here go to reckless faith. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. Now, look at what the Bible says. And he said, that means Joshua said. Joshua spoke it. Not God. Amen. Not an angel, but Joshua said. Joshua spoke this. Joshua released this out of his mouth. Look, if Joshua could do this without the Holy Ghost, what can we do with the Holy Ghost? Listen. Says, and he said in the sight of Israel. Woo! I love this. Oh, my. I know y'all reading right along with me, and that's fine, because I want you to read, and I want you to get that deep down in your spirit. Look at what Joshua said. Look at this. It says, and he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. These are the people that he made a pact with that he probably should not have made a pact with. But he's moved into, amen, we can call the third pool ministry, the opening of the word, the spoken word. Son, stand thou still over Gibeon. I like this. Over Gibeon and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Stay right there. Now, this is reckless faith. As most people say, now scientists have proven, say, man, if the right now the way that this earth rotates, you know, rotates like that, say, and it's rotating around the sun. We got night and day and all this. It's rotating like this. What in the world happened here when God, when Joshua said, told the sun, stop right where you're at. Moon, you stay where you at. Some people say the earth stopped. But they said, scientists say if the earth would have stopped, amen, we would all people would have fell right off the earth because of the no gravitation. We have no idea what happened here. But all we do know is the sun stopped or the earth stopped. Amen, the moon stayed where it was for about 24 hours this happened. Nobody can explain it, but this is what we call a paradox. It's something that's unbelievable. A paradox is something that's totally unbelievable. But yet it's true. Come on, in your body, God wants to give you a paradox. Maybe the doctor said it could never happen, but God wants to give you a paradox. Something unbelievable, but yet it's true. You are living evidence that it's true. Ooh, hallelujah. Have faith in God this morning. Unbelievable, but yet it's true. If God could hearken to the voice of a man in that day, the same God will answer your prayer if you say to the mountain. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe that you can have what you say. Then you're going to get exactly what you said. Joshua had a need. Joshua was just out there to prove him whether he could do this or not. Joshua said, look, if we don't get these guys right now, they're going to get back together. And when they get together, they're going to cause me more trouble than I ever bargained for. So I need something that ain't never happened before to happen right now. I don't know what to say. And God didn't even tell him what to say. Joshua, you know, I don't gave you the authority. You know you're supposed to take the land. You, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Go ahead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When he was with Moses, Moses said something one time that God didn't tell him to say. He said it and God honored it. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what it was? Moses told him, say, man, they was at the Red Sea and they looked behind them. Egyptians was coming and they see in front of them like, what are we going to do with this situation? Moses, you led us to death. Moses say, stand still. Stand still. He say, the Egyptians that you've seen today, you shall see them no more forever. God did not tell Moses to say that. Moses said that himself. And then when he caught himself and realized what he had said, like us, when he realized what he said, then he turned to God and said, Lord, what can I do? Man, God was excited that Moses spoke that. God was up there rejoicing that Moses spoke. Did you hear what he said? And then, I mean, just bragging on Moses. Didn't he hear a cry from earth? Lord, Lord, what are you talking about? Man, you just said the Egyptians that we see today, we'll see no more forever. God told Moses, stop crying. Speak and move forward, Moses. God say the same thing to us today. Stop crying. Speak and move forward. Hallelujah. Stop crying over your situation. Stop crying over your circumstance. Stop crying about it. Speak and move forward. Woo, Jesus. Glory to God. That same God that was with Moses was with Joshua. That same God that's with Joshua is with us today. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. Amen. I want you to touch your neighbor and say, it's what you say. It's what you say. It's what you say. It's what you say. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Son, stand still. Son, stand thou still. This is reckless faith, not even considering the consequences. If I tell the sun to stop, I don't know what's going to happen to the earth. I have no idea, but all I know is I need to win this battle. Reckless, not even considering the consequences. They had a thing that they, some scientists were studying time, and they had everything accounted for. They had everything, like all the days was accounted for. They say they was missing one day. One day, they were like, how come we missing one day? We cannot figure out where this day came from. The one of the scientists, remember his old Sunday school lesson. Says, you know, in the Bible, it said that Joshua spoke to the sun. And it stood still for almost a full day. And they say, well, they calculated that and got it like 23 hours and so many minutes or something like that. Like, wow, well, where is the other few minutes? How come we're missing? God is perfect. They say, well, it's also in the Bible that one of the prophets told the king, I'll show you a sign. They ask for a sign. They say, I'm not going to ask for no sign. I'm not going to ask for it. They say, well, what do you want? Do you want me to take the turn the degrees so much forward or so much backward? Well, do it backward. Well, they did it backward. The prophet spoke the word, God honored the word. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
well, I preach out my mic.
But God honored the word of the prophet and turned the degrees of the sun so far backward, and that's what he calculated the other time they lost. They realized the whole day was in there. And it was all over spoken word. Oh, y'all didn't hear it. That third pull, opening of the word, or can I use spoken word just for this day? Amen. I know Brother Branham says open the other word, but the spoken word, third pool ministry that Joshua had. Here God used something totally different. One, walk around the walls. Another, let's create an ambush. This time, speak the word.
My Lord. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, it's time for us to step off into that too. It might have been a time where we might have took our medicine. We did that for a season. We may still do that, but one day we're going to speak the word. Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to see something here. I'm going to read read verse 13, then I got another quote that I want to read for you. Let's start at verse 12 again. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Verse 14 says this, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So if there was no day like it before it and there was no day like it after it, ain't no sense in us trying to stand out there to stop the sun. God want to use a different strategy for you. Amen. And see, that strategy, I mean, God inspires it to you. God inspires it. You just can't do these things on your own. But you got to be in a channel with God where he can inspire this to you. See, Brother Branham was in a channel. He's just out there meditating on the scripture. See, most of us not even meditating on scripture. Huh? Can I be honest? Some of the brothers meditating on who's going to win the game tonight. Not only brothers, some sisters too. Hello, somebody. I heard the light say amen. I'm just be honest with y'all. Satan is using so much stuff to take our attention. It's not that, I mean, some things are just fine. I read a quote for y'all the other week where Brother Branham said he was going to watch this movie about the River No Return. Last week I read that. And he was watching TV. The prophet was watching TV in that quote. See, so some of these things that we get involved with, it's Satan just using it. And sometimes it's not the game that's the problem. The commercials, Lord Jesus, some of the stuff that they put on commercials. And then even, I mean, it used to be a time that like the curse words, they would blank out. Am I preaching yet? They would blank that out. They wouldn't even think of cursing on TV. Cursing on radio? Uh-oh, I'm all in there now. They would never even think of that. But now people don't even care, and curse words fly like crazy. Now, if somebody came to your house, was standing in person, and started talking like that, first thing you do, I'm going to show you the door. You cannot talk like that in this house. You must leave. First thing, we Christians. You can't talk like that in my house. No, you can't talk like that in my house. We Christians. But then all of a sudden, a show come on, them same Christians just like this. And next thing you know, they go to cursing. They go to doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing right there in your house. Oh. You can tell Christians that ain't got TVs. As soon as something come on. No matter what it is, just love. Like zombies, you know. It's the devil that's using these things against us. It's the truth anyhow. It's the devil using a lot of this against us. It's taking our time from God. It's taking our time from families. I'm going to tell y'all something. I was at a homeschool convention to talk about kids that might not sit still in church. They say they did a study on it. Say the reason that they don't do that is because they don't know how to sit still at home at the dinner table. So what happens is that the families don't eat dinner together no more. Ever since the day of TV dinners, ever since that day, families stop eating dinner together. Pop it in the microwave. 5 minutes, you got your food, and you go sit in this corner. You sit in that corner. Now we sit around watching a television show, or one in the room doing this. And that's the way it is at family time. But it used to be a time everybody come home from school, everybody come home from work, and we sit around the table and we just eat. And at that, and oh Lord, I might as well talk about this thing, you know. And thank God it was a time that we didn't have cell phones. You know what? Because we used to talk to each other. As families, we used to communicate. We used to look each other in the eye and talk, but not anymore. Now, I'm sitting here right next to you, and you send me a text? Well, this is a shame. This is the devil using this against us, y'all. I'm sitting here right next to you. And the sad part about it is you respond to the text. Sitting right there next to him. This is Satan. Ain't nobody going to be texting in heaven. Ain't going to be no cell phones in heaven. I told my daughters, I remember Brother Brown said, man, I wish I could just come up with a computer program and get a code that I could send this code to every cell phone and just blow it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Reckless faith. We want to walk in this realm with God. Joshua caused the sun to stand still, the moon to stop where it was, all because a man spoke out of his mouth. Didn't consider the consequences of what would happen. All I know is I'm in a battle. We trying to win, and I need some more sunlight before, amen, we finish this battle. So for just about 24 hours, God stopped the sun. And if we want to say God stopped the earth, God stopped the moon, God stopped whatever he had to stop, because Joshua needed sunlight. A prophet needed squirrels, and God brought them from eternity. Huh? Abraham needed a ram, and God brought, and Abraham spoke it. The Lord gonna provide a sacrifice. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God gonna provide himself a sacrifice. So God brought that ram from eternity and put it there in the spot where Abraham needed. This is the God that we serve. Look at this. I'm going to read this quote from I've Heard But Now I See. I'm at paragraph 127 in this I Have Heard But Now I See. Oh, glory to God. I want you to catch this, and I'll be closing shortly. It says, see, of course, it was a paradox. To see something that seems to be impossible, yet it's true. See, it's something that seems to be impossible, yet it's true. But the sun stood still, said the Bible. I don't know what you people think that thinks the world was run down at paragraph 127. It says, I don't know what you people think that thinks the world was run now, but anyhow, the sun stood still. Perhaps Joshua never had tried to figure out what he was going to do. How he was going to do it, how God was going to do it. The only thing that he said was, son, stand still. He said it perhaps not knowing what he was saying. And I think that's the way we get sometimes. Lord, he said it perhaps not knowing what he was saying, because it was God that gave it to him, and he worked. The same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. This is a point that I want you to catch. But you can't stand there, fumble in your mind, and say it. You got to be inspired to say it. I like that. You know, because you know how we fumble in our mind. Now, I want to say it, because, you know, it'll be the right thing to say. But be honest, I don't believe what I'm saying gonna come to pass. Now, Lord, if you say it, I know it'll come to pass. I'm just waiting to see what you're gonna say. But me, if I say it, the way I lived, the way I done walked before you, ain't no way nothing gonna happen when I say it. Is that the way we fumble in our minds? That's why I tried to show you Joshua 9 first. Joshua fumbled in Joshua 9. He had an agreement with these Gibeonites that he should not have had. But God overlooked that and took him into Joshua 10 and caused him to speak to the sun and heard what Joshua said after his mistake. They didn't catch it, Lord. This happened after his mistake. Not before, but after he made a mistake. That's when God did this. Oh, don't limit God. Don't limit God. Have reckless faith. Have reckless faith. God will honor what you say. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it's just something that we all need to be reminded of. God, this faith that you have called us to, reckless faith, we say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in our heart. We can have what we say, not what you say or what somebody else says, but what we say as individuals. Lord, you'll honor that. You honored it in the days of Moses. You honored it in the days of Joshua. You honored it, Lord, even today, Father. Your prophet comes some 50, 60 years ago on the earth, and you take him through various testimonies. He spoke to a fish, gave life to the fish. God, he spoke squirrels into existence, and it's on record that 7 times squirrels came from words that came out of your prophet's mouth. When he doubted and didn't know how to approach that scripture, the angel quickened it to him while he was hunting, and Lord brought that scripture to pass. Now we realize what this is all about. God, and now we're at a spot where it's us. Your prophet's not here anymore. Joshua's not here anymore. Moses is not here anymore. But we're here. And God, let us begin to walk and operate, amen, in this place that you've called us to. Not to be fearful, but Lord, to be fearless. Oh God, having reckless faith. Reckless faith. That's what you've called us to, Father. And I ask, oh God, that you would bring us to that spot, just each one in their own individual way. Bring them to that place, Father. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I actually wanted to read just a quote regarding the reckless faith, and you can play softly there for me. If you would give me the quote out of "As I Was with Moses, So Will I Be with Thee." Man, Joshua could take that because he's seen the mistakes that Moses made, but God was with him in the midst of those mistakes. And even when Joshua made a mistake, God was with him. And even in our mistakes, God would be with us. He says this, now Joshua had to take this command. The people said, "Let God be with you as he was with Moses. We'll know that the same spirit that led us this far can take us on." Oh, how the church ought to look this morning to find the spirit working amongst people. If you want a church home where the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit that'll move amongst the people, that's the spirit that God's raising up in the last days to take the people over into the other land. And to the full promise of all the blessings of God, and to the full commission that he gave, or the promise. The promise is unto you and to your children. As Israel sought for that promised land, knowing that it was somewhere, because there had been somebody there before, so is the church. We know that there's a land somewhere. There is a power somewhere, because there's been others been over there. And those testimonies I'm sharing with you about Brother Branham, he's been over there, and now he's sharing that this land is for us. Amen. It says, we know that that land lays beyond the river where we're headed towards this morning, trying to go into that promised land. Joshua knew that that land was there. He went first and found out there. Then there he could come back as a witness. God called ministers ought not to be so stuffed out with theology, but have visit the land to where we're going, bringing back evidence of the divine love and power of Jesus Christ to make known to their congregations that there is a land beyond the river. Now, last night, preaching, going up to Jordan. Now, when we get to that river, it divides us. It separates us. Once on the other side, something's happened to you. Now, Joshua, in all his knowing that the command was great, but having the assurance he could be fearless, he could be, and we call it reckless. As long as he was pointed the right way, he might break up against a heel that would knock him backwards, but he was headed the right way. so can the church of the living God be reckless and fearless in faith if we're pointed the right way. For he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. He never forsaken Moses. He never failed Moses. He will not fail Joshua. He will not fail us. He will be with us. I believe that with all my heart. If we're pointed in the right direction, our objective is right, then speak to that mountain. Amen. No matter what it is that's in your way, speak to it. It's got to move. You believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake somebody's hand and say, reckless faith. Reckless faith. Speak to the storm, speak to the rain. You have the power to bring about a change. God has come in you, and now he speaks through you. Don't cry, my brother.
Richly bless you today. Amen.
Have reckless faith. Reckless faith. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. God bless you.
God, we just want to thank you for all that was said, dear Lord, brother. We know it's all true. Help us, dear Lord God, as we leave here today, just go out and practice. A lot of us, dear Lord, are suffering with different ailments and stuff. Help us, dear Jesus, as we want to just speak to our situation. Just keep going, knowing that that's your word. Pray that you'll bless us now as we depart. And just have us, praise that people have a safe trip home. Watch over them. Next time the church doors open, dear Lord, that you'll bring us back. This is nothing but the truth, and we just love that you brought us in here, dear Lord God. Thank you for all that was said today, and we just give you thanks, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name.
Thank you.